Welcome to Ask the Pastors, a segment of the West Hills podcast, where you have the opportunity to ask your questions and receive biblically grounded, pastorally sensitive answers from our pastoral staff. My name is Brian. I'm your host and one of the pastors. And I'm joined by our lead pastor, Will.
Hey.
And Pastor Thad.
Hey, everyone.
Today we've got a great question from Lysin. Thanks for submitting your question. She writes, asks this, an episode. She wants an episode about Christian nationalism and why it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lysin. Happy to do that. And I think it's, this one has been really relevant, especially it seems like, for the last 4 to 8 years. But, you know, there's never a bad time recently here to dive into Christian nationalism. But, I even referenced in the sermon week before last, the most recent, you know, kind of newsworthy, event with the release of Trump and Lee Greenwood's sort of collaboration, the Bible, the God Bless America Bible. And that's a perfect picture, I think, in a lot of ways of Christian nationalism, because we should start by defining the term, because a lot of where I think this discussion or debate on Christian nationalism and whatever within the church and even outside the church diverges paths is even just over a differentiation of terms and how we're defining and using terms. So I don't think it's helpful to, you know, set up a straw man and paint the worst possible version of Christian nationalism that every, you know, sane person would disagree with or something like that. I think we want to be fair, and maybe we will discuss later some different kind of understandings and kind of possible definitions that others have used that we may even, you know, not find problematic. But I think the sort of common primary kind of common consensus of Christian nationalism revolves around a couple things. So I'll just read a couple different definitions and then maybe take a stab at my own. So the first that, you know, we found was an article from Paul Miller. And I do want to give a quick shout out to Sam Fletcher, who is very passionate about this topic. When he heard on last week's podcast, we're going to be discussing this today, dropped off a stack of books with us that he's found helpful, one of which was written by Paul Miller, who was his roommate, I think, back in schooling days, and good friend of his, went to church together at Capitol Hill Baptist. And so appreciate your help and passion and with that, Sam. But I read about half of that book in preparation for this conversation, and this is a kind of digestion of that book, I think, into one article, Paul Miller, entitled "What Is Christian Nationalism?" that he wrote for Christianity Today back in 2021. And his short, succinct definition of it is: Christian nationalism is the belief that the American nation is defined by Christianity, and that the government should therefore take active steps to keep it that way. So the American nation is, and I think to probably be most fair, it would be probably even better for him to say the belief that the American nation is in part, or maybe in large part, defined by Christianity. Because it's not only defined by, it's not like the sum total of what it means to be American is to be Christian.
Sure.
But it is defined at least in part, or to a large extent, by Christianity. You know, another definition or description, at least, offered by Bob Thune in a Gospel Coalition panel discussion that they did. When was this? Just a couple weeks ago, it looks like, with Phil Reichen and Bob Thune, Ligon Duncan, and Andy Davis. And Bob Thune defines Christian nationalism as a fusing of Christian identity and national identity in ways that most of us would find problematic. I'll kind of try and bring maybe even a little bit more clarity to that and put those two ideas together. So if I was going to try and take a stab at what is Christian nationalism, it seems like the confusion, the blurring of the lines, the confusion and conflation, so going beyond confusion mm-hmm. and blurring, but conflation of one's Christian identity with one's American identity. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I am an American. I was born here, citizen, all of it. I am a Christian. Those two things are parts of my identity. Christian nationalism, I think it's fair to say, is a confusion and not just a blurring of the lines between those two things, but a conflation that, to the extent that to be an American is to be a Christian. I think that's a fair kind of summary of what it means to be Christian nationalist, is to say, because, as Miller defined it, the belief that American nation is defined by Christianity, you know, if that's really true, then, you know, I think a true Christian nationalist would say that, you know, to be an American is in part, maybe not completely defined by it, but is to be a Christian. And I would say where it becomes even more problematic than that is obviously the converse, the flip side of that, which is, you know, if you really wanted to push it, you know, and this is one that, you know, I have not heard anyone say this out loud or purport to believe it, but I think maybe a subtle sort of implication of Christian nationalism is in some sense the converse of that, which is to be a Christian, to be a true, like the most Christian is to be an American. I mean, I think if you're going to say that when those two things start getting conflated with one another and my American identity, my Christian identity become intricately wrapped up in one mm-hmm. another, then all of a sudden, you know, that other side of it is, you know, to really be a Christian in some part means to be American. So I hope that that's not a completely unfair characterization of what it means to be a Christian nationalist. I think, high-level belief that America is God's special mm-hmm. chosen nation, that that God has a special relationship with the American nation. A lot of Paul Miller's book here, he spends a lot of time unpacking and differentiating between a country and a nation. Mm-hmm. And he defines country along sort of geopolitical terms, whereas a nation he understands as less aligned with a political entity and more aligned with a unifying culture and appeal to a common sort of heritage. And that heritage or culture can include dimensions of you know, race, ethnicity, of history, but language, and this is why you get all sorts of other tangential conversations within this Christian nationalist thing. Mm-hmm. White Christian nationalism, white supremacy, you know, all of those things, which we're not necessarily talking about as directly in this mm-hmm. podcast. But all that to say, I do think it's important to make that distinction between a nation and a country for multiple reasons. One of which, though, is because I think it touches on another important distinction with this whole conversation, which is the distinction between nationalism and patriotism, which I think is a really important distinction. So patriotism, if we were going to define that, I think is a love for one's country, a love, appreciation, value, respect, you know, for one's country. Patriotism is, well, can be, I guess it depends on the country, right? Patriotism can be a beautiful, wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what, you know, in doing a lot of the research, everybody, you know, no matter how much you want to critique Christian nationalism, you know, everybody is agreeing on the fact that, again, depending on the country, and especially in our context, if we're talking about American Christian nationalism versus American, you know, Christian patriotism or something like that, patriotism in our country is a great thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am pro America as they come. I believe, you know, I don't love apple pie. I really don't love baseball either, to be honest. Sorry, Cardinals fan. I mean, I'm a passive Cardinals fan, but I love our country. You know, I'll tear up singing God Bless America on 4th of July, shooting off fireworks with the rest of them, you know? And so I think that there's something, you know, beautiful about loving your country. I even think there's something biblical about it. You know, I think God calls us to thrive where we're planted, to advocate for and support the flourishing of the culture and the society that we're a part of. I think the contrast with patriotism and nationalism now is that nationalism, again, number one, is less about seems to be less about a geopolitical country, and more about a culture or even what we might call a people group. I mean, what the Bible talks about is an ethne, you know, that Greek term ethne that we kind of implicitly are invoking every Sunday at West Hills when we recite the Great Commission from Matthew 28, that we're to go to all nations, all people groups, all nations. And so Christian nationalism is an understanding that there is a particular identity that we might call the American nation that is not to be identified in its current state. And this is the problem for Christian nationalists, is that it is not to be identified with America as a country. And actually, a Christian nationalist would say that the problem with America today is that the country is not being defined by and driven by the true heart of the American nation, that the American ethne, the American people group, the true American people group, is sort of a people within the country that need to take back the country. I mean, this is a lot of the rhetoric you see. You know, there's a lot of, you know, in extreme form, you have this kind of same, and nationalism is nothing new. I mean, it's not. Not to make the whole, I know it always gets crazy when you start throwing around Hitler, but I mean, it was Hitler belonged to the German Nationalist Party in the 20th century in Germany. I mean, that was a nationalist movement to say there's a people group, there's an ethne here, the Aryan race within Germany that is being polluted, the bloodline. You know, we have to take back our country by our nation.
By any means. And so even to throw in Stephen Wolfe, he's written his book, The Case for Christian Nationalism, painting this picture of what it is, and here's an excerpt from it, that Christians need to be revolutionaries who are willing to overthrow present systems, even violently. So this is the, hey, there's this group within. We need to do whatever we can to overthrow the current system, to get it to get it to where it meant to be, where its roots are founded.
Take our country back, make America mm-hmm. great again.
And he even goes as far as to say, to this end, the church and state should work together. The church's duty is to teach true religion, and the civil government must ensure that truth is taught and that harmful false teaching is restrained. Mm-hmm. Government should therefore suppress blasphemy, heresy, flagrant disregard for public worship. So, like, he even goes wow. as far as to almost indicate, like, the church is the one who should run mm-hmm. the Christian nation of America, as he right. as he would put it, not as I would.
Yeah.
And so, like,
it's a theocracy.
He moves and just blatantly puts out the by any means necessarily mm-hmm. by violence overthrowing, and for some, that's appealing to them. They look at the current state of our government and they're like, things are not as they should be. And I'll admit, the government is not my dream government as it is, but I am not advocating for a overthrowing of it by any means necessary to instill my own ideas and values into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is interesting. This statistic that Miller, referenced in his book, says in 2004, there's a survey done. 37% of Americans believe that people should support their country even when their country is in the wrong. So over a third of Americans polled said, you should support your country even when your country's in the wrong. Now, you could interpret that question. I don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. That was the direct quote from the survey. But I don't know again, you got to give a context to it, because what do you mean by support?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you still mean be patriotic? Because I can still be patriotic mm-hmm. and still wave an American flag and sing God Bless America, even if and when, knowing that my country doesn't always get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this, a lot of this gets us back to the whole Colin Kaepernick stuff and whether you mm-hmm. kneel for the flag.
Yeah.
You know, again, is the
what
only
does it mean to support,
is the only know? Flag worth kneeling for one that's, you know, of a country that's perfect? You know, does a country have to be perfect and then it's worth kneeling for? You know, so we can have all those kinds of debates.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way I read that question anyway, that people should support their country even when their country is wrong, I at least interpret that question as not I'm supporting America, you know, even when we accidentally bomb civilians, you know, that I can still support America even if we make some mistakes, but rather that I'm supporting every action of my country even when that action is wrong, and basically in a way that kind of intimates that you know, the very that they would even call into question the wrongness of the action because of the actor.
Mm.
In other words, because America is the one doing the thing, it is by definition right. And that's where, again, I think you kind of start to see that blurring of the mm-hmm. lines between Christian and nationalism, because, you know, Christianity does unapologetically say, when God does something or when God says something, that is what makes it right. You know, the very fact that God said it or that God did it, you know, God defines what truth is. God is objective truth and mm-hmm. goodness and reality. And so, you know, if we see something like we have in Leviticus, God's word allowing for slavery in certain historical context, we as Christians, because of our ideological convictions and commitment to the Bible as God's word, we're going to look at that and say, well, God supported it, so it was right. Slavery in that context, in that way, whatever word you want to use for it,
mm-hmm.
In the Hebrew, we can unpack the term there, slavery. But it must have been right at that time for that people, for those purposes, because God allowed it. That's hard for many people to get their head around and to get their heart around.
Mm-hmm.
But that is precisely because God is objective truth and goodness. When I hear a survey question like that, what I hear in that is, again, maybe 37% of Americans were just interpreting the question differently than me, but what I hear is there's at least some significant contingency of our country, Americans, who believe that because America does something, that makes it right, that our country is in the right, and that our country should be stood for, and its policies in it should be stood for kind of no matter what. And that, yeah, I think that is where it becomes really dangerous. And, you know, if I could go so far as to make this point, I'll go ahead and just make this claim. I think Christian nationalism is an oxymoron. I think it's a contradiction of terms. I think that Christian nationalism is properly understood. It is really a logical contradiction and impossibility, because what it means to be Christian is to believe and stand on the principle of Christ first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, you know, if you don't hate your father and mother, if you don't hate your own family, in comparison to your commitment and your feelings about me, if it doesn't look like hate, then that person is not worthy to follow me. You know, so Jesus made it really clear, I will be your Lord, not just your Savior, not just get out of hell free ticket, you know, pray a prayer, but I will be your Lord, or I have no interest in being anything else in your life. I will be first in your life, or I will not be in your life. Mm-hmm. So that's a claim that Jesus made, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's either Christ first, or it's no Christ. I mean, Jesus will not be one priority amongst others mm-hmm. in a person's life. Right. He's just not willing to do that.
You can't place Jesus and nation together at first, which is what Christian nationalism is
doing. That's what I'm getting at is, you know, the first commandment is, you know, God says you'll have no other gods beside me. Not just before me, but beside me. Like, no one else compares to me. I am, you know, anything else that even tries is pales so far in comparison. It's obviously an idol. Mm-hmm. You don't worship that. I am first in your life. And so God, Jesus, very exclusive claims to supremacy in a person's life and allegiance. You know, you don't want to talk about pledge of allegiance. That is our allegiance as Christians, is Christ first. Hmm. Nationalism says country first, nation first. This culture, this nation state, this ideal of what American once was, needs to be again, what we want it to be, our version of, you know, Anglo-Protestantism mixed with, you know, whatever other kind of political virtues or values we want to, you know, put in there. And again, this is where you get back mm-hmm. to the Trump Bible, and you've got literally someone editing and putting the Constitution and Bill of Rights and Pledge of Allegiance in the footnotes of God's Word, mm-hmm. and putting mm-hmm. the Founding Fathers' words, which are amazing and wonderful, and as Americans mm-hmm. we should love and celebrate the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights. We love these things, we cherish them. That's part of our American mm-hmm. identity and heritage and tradition, values that just have very little, if anything, to do with our Christian mm-hmm. identity and values. You know, even though, you know, there's some phrases here and there in God we trust, there's also some phrases about, you know, the government mm-hmm. making no law to establish religion, which so say all that to say, I think it's a contradiction of terms, because you can't have two first. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if something's first, it's first. It's Ricky Bobby. If you're not first or last, you know, there's no point in being second or whatever. So mm-hmm. what's first? Is Christ first? Then you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Is nation first? Then you're a nationalist. But you can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. And so I think that confusion, that conflation mm-hmm. of those two identities and trying to say that you know, both are first, and somehow it's no wonder that then they become conflated and they become contingent upon one another, mm-hmm. because you can't logically have two first. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying this is what's primary, this is what's supreme, this is what's most important, you know, then you have to, as a Christian nationalist, somehow reason yourself mm-hmm. into, well, for Christ to be first, and country, and, you know, nation, culture, mm-hmm. you know, to be an American, you know, for those two things to both be first, there must be some sort of mm-hmm. conflation between the two. And that's where you get, and I'll just reference this, and then I mostly don't have much else to say, I don't think. You get, you know, good sort of indications of Christian nationalism is when you get people who read the promises of Scripture that were, you know, for those of us who aren't Christian nationalists, we read these particular promises contextually. Mm-hmm. We read them in their historical context as God talking to His people, and they're usually from the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, God had a chosen nation, a chosen ethne. Israel was God's special anointed people group that God said, I'm starting with you, Abraham, and I'm going to bless all mm-hmm. the other ethne through you. But you have Christians today just sort of anachronistically reading these promises out of context of Scripture as promises that God gives to America, mm-hmm. like 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear them from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And Americans will read that, throw it on a, mm-hmm. a postcard, a meme, a flag, whatever, a t-shirt, and then mm-hmm. they conflate that with God making this promise to America. We are, America is God's people, God's special, and God wants to heal our land. And in order for Him to do it, we as a people, Americans, are going to have to humble and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And again, I think this is why the danger and mm-hmm. the conflation is that not only does it blur the lines of what it means to be American, and then you really, you don't make room for some of the really key core values of what I believe it means to be an American, like religious pluralism, like the First Amendment mm-hmm. that says Congress shall not pass any law establishing one religion over mm-hmm. others, that you should have the freedom of religion. Mm-hmm. Like, just imagine if, you know, how many different ways that could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pilgrims came here because they wanted freedom of religion. They didn't want the state religion. Mm-hmm. And we all love, you know, the pilgrims. And so you just think, like, this is where when you conflate these two, you're boxing out whole segments of people that I believe can and should and are just as much American as I am, even though they're not Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mm-hmm. respect their right to practice. You know, I wholeheartedly disagree with them. Mm-hmm. I am in conversation going to try and convince them that Christianity is the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that they need Him for salvation, that their religion is wrong and Christianity is right. All of that is true. Mm-hmm. And yet, I'm not going to try and convince them that they're not really American because they're not Christian. And I'm not going to treat mm-hmm. them as less American. And I don't think they shouldn't get to vote because mm-hmm. they're not a Christian. And so these are the kinds of things where I think it becomes really mm-hmm. dangerous. Psalm 33:12, same thing. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. A Christian mm-hmm. nationalist is going to read that and rip it mm-hmm. right out of context in Psalm 33. And, you know, the psalmist talking about Israel, and say, that's mm-hmm. that's us. God bless America. we are mm-hmm. His chosen heritage, His blessed nation. We belong to Him. Mm-hmm. And again, we part of this whole conversation too. We could have a whole part two about whether or not I just say this too. America is not a Christian nation, never has been. I've said it before, strongly believe Christian makes a great noun, a terrible adjective. I don't even like Christian as an adjective for a household or home. Like the whole idea, and I know this is going to offend some people. You know, I grew up in a Christian household. I grew up in a Christian home. Homes can't be Christian. People are Christians. You know, mom can be a Christian. Dad can be a Christian. You weren't a Christian all your life. You weren't born a Christian. So you didn't grow up every day of your life in a Christian home, because when you were brought into that home as a baby, you weren't a Christian. So everybody in the home wasn't a Christian. So this is what I'm getting at is like a Christian is it's a individual's identity. It's certainly not the identity of a nation or a country, you know, and there has never been a time in this country's history when, you know, I guess you could argue maybe when the majority of people were Christians, maybe, but even then it's very hard to define, and only God knows people's hearts. And, you know, certainly the founding fathers, I mean, that's a whole nother just debate on whether or not they were really more deists than they were Christians, and it all gets muddy. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if America was a Christian nation, first of all, everybody would be Christian, which we're clearly not. And second of all, even at a sort of doctrinal, constitutional, theoretical level, it would be a lot more clear. There's nothing about Christianity in our founding documents. There's some about God. There's some about religion, et cetera. Jesus is not mentioned anywhere in America's founding, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, that I know of. I had to go back and reread them again. But, I don't see Jesus anywhere. So how can you, if in your founding, can you imagine if, as a church, West Hills, in our statement of faith, Jesus wasn't mentioned anywhere in our core convictions, our statement of faith, our mission statement as a church? You know, we are a Christian church, right? Because we stand on for Jesus, Jesus first, Christ first. America, that's just not part of what our country was ever intended to be. And so, but you've got Christian nationalists want to make it that way. And so they sort of fabricate this past vision and version of what history, you know, would or could or should have been. Exactly, romanticized, that they want to bring us back to, again, make America great again. That really is a myth. Other things that need to be said about Christian nationalism.
All that, I think, as I said, helpful to have that definition to work with, because there are so many who hear things, or even in the media, where when everything is liberal or conservative, that there's going to be this conflation that to be conservative, you're all just Christian nationalists. If you stand against abortion, if you stand against drag show reading times in public library, you're just a Christian nationalist. And I'm like, well, I would stand against those things, but that does not make me a Christian nationalist, because it's important. Or you have some who, with this like infusion, that we advocate for the end of abortion, but we don't kill doctors who perform abortions, which a Christian nationalist would work towards that end. They would like to see things installed towards that, that we can march, we can protest, we do not form mobs of destructions. I do think for us, though, in thinking of the current season we're in, that we work to elect candidates with integrity and conviction, that we work towards voting for school board members that are going to work towards that, but not strictly Christian, but work towards those things. And remember, even just some of the truths that we read in Scripture that you drew us to in it, and thinking of the different ways in which we're believers are talked about and living. Jesus talking about not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting for it. John 18, like Jesus saying like, hey, my kingdom is not of this world. It is otherworldly, that we are citizens of heaven, or as 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a chosen race, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, not a American nation, not a American priesthood, not an American race, but we are God's holy nation.
Yeah.
We are are also in First Peter, we are like resident aliens. Like, we do not belong here, that this is not our eternal home.
That's right.
And ultimately, we are servants of God, not servants of America. We are servants of God first and foremost, which is where you started. Like, you have to put something first.
Yeah.
Yes. And if it's not God, then you're not a servant of God. That other thing has taken capture of your heart.
Yeah. Is your primary citizenship in heaven?
Yeah.
Or is it in any country or nation or tribe or voting block or group or institution that this world could come up with? And America is a great one. And again, I think we are those of us who belong to this country that we call America, this idea, whether again you want to call it a nation or a geopolitical entity, sovereign nation state, it's a good one. It might be about as good as they come, other than Israel. I mean, it would be pretty sweet. Old Testament Israel, it'd be obviously pretty sweet to have God as your king, and which they rejected and never really fully had in the way that God had invited them and offered to be for them. But you know, outside of a theocracy where God is in charge, like we see aspirationally in the Old Testament, you know, a democratic, like who was, is it Jefferson? Somebody, one of the founding fathers, I think, said sort of famously that democracy is the worst form of government other than every other one or something like that. I mean, basically, it's like, you know, because we understand human sinfulness, you know, the idea that I'm going to give, if I'm in charge of the government, then I'm going to give, you know, how 350 million sinners a vote and a voice, and to say, hey, you guys are all, every one of you is a sinner, sinful. Why don't you decide how to govern yourselves? I mean, that's again, on paper, seems pretty silly when you put it that way. And yet you stack that up against any other form of, you know, socialism, communism, totalitarianism, monarchy, I mean, anything else. And it's like, yeah, well, that's pretty much the least bad option. So it's a, I say all that to say, we should be, you know, and we were the first. We, America, invented that kind of liberal, democratic republic, and freedom, and you know, the first to give that kind of vote and voice to everyone. And I know it took a while before we got around to giving it to women and blacks and everything. And so, you know, even that, though, it's like, again, we've got to recognize the good with the bad. And I think the truest kind of patriot can acknowledge the missteps of his country in the past, and rather than romanticizing and whitewashing them and sort of trying to repaint and recast history in some sort of idealized version that we got to return to. So all of that to say, you know, I don't know how much else I have on this. We've given a lot of words already. I would just maybe a good place for me anyway to end with is the quote from Jesus, and there's so many, obviously already quoted the, if you don't hate even your own family, much less your country in comparison to me. But, you know, the one that stands out starkest to me that should absolutely fly in the face of this idea of Christian nationalism is that famous conversation with Jesus had with Pilate right before his crucifixion, where Pilate says, oh, so you're a king? And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Because Christian nationalism is, at its heart, an attempt to make Jesus's kingdom a kingdom of this world, the kingdom of America, where Jesus is the king of this kingdom that we call America, and Christianity is the law of the land of the king, and everyone better, you know, conform to it. And again, here's Jesus who could call down legions of angels to enforce his kingdom and to make everyone bend the knee to him. And he will one day. He'll come back and everyone will bend the knee, even if they don't want to. So that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But that day is not today. And that's not how Jesus's kingdom comes in the here and the now, before his second coming. That's not how his kingdom, I think he was clear with his followers that that's not how. I mean, he told Peter, put down your sword. That's not how we're going to take our country back. My kingdom is not coming by you and the other disciples taking up swords. It's not coming by you and the other Christians, you know, taking back the capital or, you know, rallying the vote or whatever. Like, that's not the way my kingdom spreads. You know, my kingdom is, it's an upside down kingdom where, you know, the kingdoms of this world, they kill to get power. Jesus's kingdom, in Jesus's kingdom, you die, and that is your power. You know, we follow a crucified Savior who in order to prove his power, was willing to and went to his death. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're called to do as well. So, short answer to Lassen's question, I think that's Christian nationalism is the conflation of those two identities. And why is it bad? Because I think it really bastardizes and undermines and cheapens both identities. Mm-hmm. It cheapens both what it means to be an American, but far more significantly and egregiously, it cheapens what it means to be a Christian, you know? It's such a narrow vision and version of what it means to be Christian and to be American. And I think when you try and put the two together, you just lose so much of, if I can just let these two things be separate and acknowledge that they are separate, and it's possible to be one without the other, and that lots of people are, and that that's okay. Mm-hmm. So.
That's good. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Ask the Pastors. Remember that you can submit your questions by visiting the info bar at West Hills on Sundays, or by asking them online through our website at www.westhillsstl.org. Join us again next week where we address the question, how can I be a Christian when I struggle with an addiction every day? If you enjoyed this week's episode, hit that like button, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.